You're listening to SBS News.
While inspecting the latest marine technology in Hawaii, Australia's Defence Minister Richard Marles joined US Secretary of Defence Lloyd Austin on board a nuclear-powered Virginia-class submarine. With a price tag of $2 billion, this model has the latest stealth and weapons technology. And Richard Marles says it could be what Australia is hoping to secure under the AUKUS partnership.
This question is really central to the work that's underway right now. And we're on target to be able to make our announcements in the first part of next year. But in making those announcements, it will not just be what submarine we're going with, but how quickly we can get it, and to the extent that there is any capability gap that arises, how that capability gap can be resolved, because it's critically important, given the strategic circumstances that we face, that there is an evolving submarine capability in Australia from this day right through into the day where the first nuclear-powered submarine enters the water.
But the question of when is the hardest for the Defence Minister to answer.
You don't build a nuclear-powered submarine quickly. And so the question of when we would be able to have the first submarine in the water is one which is very pertinent to us. And it is so because our existing submarine capability, the Collins-class submarines, were imagined to start to come out of service in the middle of this decade. Clearly, we have made the decision to extend the life of the Collins-class submarines, but we need to be thinking about how we acquire a nuclear-powered submarine in a way where we minimise and plug any capability gap that might arise by virtue of that timing.
While the submarine details are finalised, the Allies agreed to work closely with more integrated military training. Lloyd Austin says the focus is on one country in particular.
Today, the region and the world face a growing challenge from autocratic countries attempting to change the status quo through threats, coercion, and provocative military activities, and even naked aggression. We're deeply concerned by China's aggressive, escalatory, and destabilizing military activities in the Taiwan Strait and elsewhere in the region.
The meeting comes just over a year after the AUKUS agreement was signed between Australia, the United States and the United Kingdom. The UK pulled out of this weekend's meeting following the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Instead, Japan filled the third position amid speculation the alliance could be expanded. The trilateral meetings were held less than a kilometre from Pearl Harbor, which was bombed by the Japanese in World War II. An 80-year-old conflict is put aside among these now allies. Overshadowing the meeting is China's recent aggression in Taiwan and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Australia has committed to another round of sanctions on Russia, this time targeting 28 people. The announcement follows the Kremlin's annexation of four occupied territories. In a statement, Foreign Minister Penny Wong has made Australia's position clear. She states the areas of Ukraine currently occupied by Russian forces are the sovereign territory of Ukraine. But for many Ukrainians rallying in Australia against Russian aggression, words are not enough. Katerina Arjaru is from the Australian Federation of Ukrainian Organisations.
Most importantly for us is to make sure that Australia continues to deliver military aid to Ukraine, more Bushmasters, to send Hawkeyes, and to continue supporting Ukraine in any way that they can. Russia deserves to have the toughest measures and punishment in relation to the war crimes and the crimes against humanity that the Russian armed forces are committing right now.
Richard Marles says the situation in Ukraine is at the forefront of Australia's diplomatic priorities.
The unprovoked aggression from Russia in respect of Ukraine is such a flouting of the UN Charter, of the global rules-based order, it must not be allowed to stand. And that's why Australia feels that the issues that are at stake in Ukraine, albeit a place that's a long way from Australia, are of such importance that they engage Australia's national interests. So we are working with the Ukrainian government about how we can continue to provide support to Ukraine over the long term to enable it to be in a position to resolve this conflict on its terms.
Back home, the government also has more local security concerns to contend with. The Optus data breach that's resulted in sensitive information being stolen from millions of customers. Cybersecurity Minister Claire O'Neill says the telco has failed to divulge crucial details that will allow it to help protect those affected.
Transparency and accountability are paramount here. It is crucial that everyone who has been affected by this breach is properly notified of that. We would like Optus to be transparent about the numbers of people who have had specific identity documents compromised, and that information has not yet been provided. I would like Optus in particular to make sure that the 10,200 people whose data has already been made available briefly online know that that has occurred.
The government contacted Optus on Tuesday, asking for details on more than 36,000 customers whose Medicare and concession card numbers were leaked, but says it's yet to receive them. Gareth Borum, SBS News.